Support for this show comes from Art Beats and Lyrics, a new documentary from Vox Creative along with Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey and Colt Creative. Directed by Bill Horace, Art Beats and Lyrics showcases how a humble art show has grown into a cultural phenomenon. The film unveils the origin stories of the event's founder, Jabari Graham, and its curator, Dwayne W. Wright, exploring how Atlanta has shaped their individual past while also revealing their distinct roles within Art Beats and Lyrics. The documentary follows Jabari W. and several of this year's feature artists as they gear up for ABNL's 20th anniversary tour, captivating thousands of fans at each and every show. Stream Art Beats and Lyrics now on Hulu. Please drink responsibly. Whiskey Specialty, 35% alcohol by volume, Jack Daniel's Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniel's and Tennessee Honey are registered trademarks. 2024 Jack Daniel's, all rights reserved.
What's up, guys? Kel Strasburger Murray here, and you are listening to Girls Talking Boys in partnership with SB Nation. As always, hello.
Happy Friday, everybody. As always, it is never a dull moment in Dallas Cowboys land, and this week is no exception.
And we are personally here for it. Listen.
Hell yeah.
If you can't beat them, join them. Like, Let's just stay toxic together, Cowboys Nation, because
just like our fearless leader, Jerry Jones.
We live in this spiral. Enjoy the ride. Why not? That's where I'm at these days. I'm just succumbing to my sins, succumbing to my vices, all of them with 5 points. And spoiler alert, they are a star. Dun, dun, dun.
That was a beautiful analogy there.
Thank you. It was a soliloquy that I just made up on the spot that I feel like should go on my reel of some sorts if I ever decided to, you know, look into acting one day. Like, that would be part of it.
That would be stunning.
Stunning. So on the topic of acting, I can't help but think there was a lot of it going on this week, or at the very least, there was a lot of just I would say commentary, a lot of people running their mouths. There was a lot of things that were going on. Like, I just have to say this, like, it is the most, just starting from the top, the most Cowboys thing ever that during these playoff games, like while the Eagles are winning, the Cowboys fan in me and the conspiracy theorist is like, they planned that. They planned to,
100%.
Yeah, like at least just drop some like bombshell breaking news of the NFC East. Like while the Eagles are going to the Super Bowl, they're like, oh, but the Eagles won, but Kellen Moore is fired. Or well, not fired, but like they're mutually
parted ways. Yeah, right. It's honestly, it's straight out of the Kris Jenner playbook to drop news like on a Friday or like when something else is just occurred. That's huge. And I don't think that's a coincidence because, as we know, her boyfriend Corey is very close to the team. So so I think that they were just like, what should we do with this? And she was like, this is what I always do. TMZ style, baby.
You know what? I forget about that a lot. And I think you're right. This is the cultural crossover that we, Cowboys Nation, didn't know they needed, but here we are. Because you're not wrong. It's like feeding the beast. Like Jerry Jones always says, like, if you're going to talk about me, at least spell my name right, you know? And it's very much in that vein. And I don't know, like, I just feel like our team wasn't playing, but Team Petty was 100% in the mix.
Team Petty's always playing. They don't take a day off, baby. But yeah, I was not surprised that's when that happened because I know that they had met on Friday.
Yeah.
Which a meeting on Friday is always like giving drama in some way.
100%.
So not surprised. I thought it was hilarious that it happened then. And he stayed on The tip of everyone's tongues this week just by, you know, doing his usual Jerry thing.
But do you feel like when, if you look at the divorce papers of the Dallas Cowboys and Kellen Moore, is it a reconcilable differences or what are the other options on there? I feel like people always like, that's the one they put down. And also like, how do we come to the conclusion that like those three choices on divorce proceedings were like the ones to choose from? Like also mainly that.
I mean, you could pick a couple things. One, like if there was a box for being a scapegoat, that would protect for sure. But also, yeah, I mean, irreconcilable differences. Jerry is not here for giving this man any weapons to play with. So yeah, that would be part of it.
I have lots of thoughts about that because I mean, I think it's great that you brought up the scapegoat thing because I don't know, like Jerry did talk about Kellen Moore and, you know, complimentary, but mentioned how it was something kind of along the lines of a Jason Garrett and Scott Linehan type situation where they didn't 100% see eye to eye and all the things. And listen, let me just say this. If he goes to San Diego and like lights the world on fire, I'm gonna not be happy.
I'm gonna not be surprised. I do think that there is a lot of merit to what you just said, though. Like, Mike McCarthy was told that he was keeping Kellen, and he was probably told the last few years that he was keeping Kellen. If we're keeping it 100, but yeah, I won't be surprised if like he is let off of his Jerry leash and like gets to do all sorts of like cute stuff. And then he has a quarterback that like is young and like can do stuff like that.
Yeah. And listen, like the Chargers have talent. Like I'm that honestly, it also a couple things that must be exciting for him, you know, and yeah. It's pretty crazy that like he turned around like within, you know, that short of a time period and was like, oh yeah, like I completed my interviews and like I've got the job, like done. Like they must have like seen the writing on the wall and like also again, like, you know, Friday. I mean, I feel like they were kind of all on aligned and on the same page and like knew this was coming down. But he didn't just land a job immediately. He landed a great job, like a great job. And
yeah, I think that's a really good fit for him, honestly. And that's what's going to be the annoying part, as you mentioned previously. Yeah.
And like, if he was bad at what he does, then he wouldn't be getting a good job, a great job, right? Like, that's the whole thing. It's like, I mean, you could say a lot of things. Like, I think you could take a lot away from that situation. And I'm not sitting here saying that Kellen Moore is like the God, but like, because it was definitely a bit of a roller coaster ride at times, you know, especially from like a fan perspective of people saying like, hey, Kellen Moore is amazing. He's going to be creative. Like he's going to pull this inspiration, you know, talking about like him being head coach, you know, blah, 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 which I still think is an opportunity for him. And then there was other times where everyone's like, get him out. Like, I don't care. And like, he was very divisive here in Cowboys Nation, especially like the second half of his career here. And I don't know though, like, I think, you know, just listening to a lot of the people and what they had to say about it and, you know, seeing everyone's commentary, it was very obvious that at this point in time, Mike McCarthy's not going anywhere. You know, your quarterback, you obviously have him locked up. And when he regresses so much like he did, you know, like missing four games and leading the league in interceptions and, you know, having really tough moments in games that he needed to be elevating the team around him. And he just quite frankly didn't. And you know, call it what it is. You mentioned it earlier. You kind of had to find a scapegoat. Like you had to make a pretty serious change, especially if you're Mike McCarthy and you're like, my job's going to be on the line like sooner rather than later. So like, I have to get serious here.
I mean, do you think that this whole play calling thing is like him like asserting his confidence in that he knows his team and can call the plays, or do you think it's like, I'm putting this on my back. You're going to have to take me out if I can't do this. Like, I don't know what the move there is.
Yeah.
Like,
no.
You can get a competent OC.
Anytime a head coach takes over play calling, like takes it back or takes it over, it's never a good thing. It's just not like it isn't. It's like it very much is like your ass is grass if you don't figure this out and quickly. And so they're like, well, shoot, I gotta take over the reins again. Like it's very, I mean, again, like I don't have like 30 plus years of knowledge of all the OC versus, you know, head coaches and who was calling plays and the transitions. And if there was ever a transition like that, that happened, that wasn't out of negativity, but I have to imagine. And if I were to put my money on it, it's probably not a good thing. Like it probably denotes the fact that there's a lot of pressure on him to get it right and figure it out and get them to the big game.
Yeah. I mean, it makes me really nervous. Just the thought, I don't know, like there, first of all, we'll never know this, but I would just love to know the moments where they like Mike and Kellen were clashing over play calling.
I know.
Like there's no way for us to ever know that unless we like got them to have a bottle of whiskey in a dark room. But like, I would love to know. But yeah, I mean, it's never a good thing when the coach takes over. And I'm so confused why, like, he had just had to say it like that. Like, I wonder if Jerry had a hand in that in any way. Or I mean, he's done that back and forth with the Packers. So I guess it's not like so out of left field for him.
Right.
But like in your search for an OC, like, why was that appealing to somebody? I guess it's like, there's less pressure, but like,
I just think when you take off the table the concept of calling plays, you automatically remove the top tier of talent who are interested in that position. Because, you know, why would you go to a job? Like, why would I go to grad school and be like, I want to go to elevate myself? Like, most people have drive to move up in the world. And if you go in automatically and you see that there's a glass ceiling and you're like, oh, cool. Like, no, yeah, no problem. Like, that's great. I'm super down with sitting at the senior manager position for the rest of my life while I watch the person above me just be a director. Like, you can never get to director. And you're like, that's fine. Like, I'm sure there's scenarios where like you have to make that decision for like whatever, you know, circumstances in your life. But all things removed, I feel like that's a very limiting position to put yourself in from a hiring perspective. And I mean, who knows? Because again, like I could say all that, but like, look at Dan Quinn, like not that he has a glass ceiling, but like he has chosen several times to stay here in Dallas and keep being this coordinator position when he's obviously pretty coveted. I also will say, it's a little different because you have a generational talent or a potential generational talent in a Micah Parsons that you have the ability, like that is dangling, dangling like an opportunity. In front of, I was going to say a cherry and I was like, it's not cherries. I don't know why.
Cherries are delicious. So either way, honestly. But yeah, no, I agree with you on that. Like, I don't know. You saw all these, the goal from being a coordinator is typically to, you know, try to, you know, go further, maybe be a head coach. Like, but there aren't that many people that end up doing that. So I'm always a little wary. Like, he's been able to pick them pretty well as far as coordinators go. But like, just after the Mike Nolan selection for DC, like, I think we're all just, you know, wringing our hands a little bit. Like, what's he going to do?
Please, dear God, don't bring in someone that then the offense has no idea what they're doing. Like, my goodness. And honestly, again, like, I just don't know, like, yeah, like, what is your purpose if you have position coordinators and then you're the OC, but you're not actually in charge of anything?
It's going to be some, like, old coot. Like,
bring back Monty Kiffin! He's a DC, but still. I'm like,
I was going to say, I don't know if Dan Quinn would like that very much, but you know,
like, he's like pats Dak on the back. He's like, great job, man. And then he walks over to Dan Quinn. He's like, but Tampa too.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I'm just telling you, like, I don't know. I just, it'll be interesting. And like, also like maybe someone should do some research on Mike McCarthy and his coaching tree. Like, can he start to build like a Nick Saban rehabilitation program? Like, should we be calling like Cliff Kingsbury and be like, hey man, give us like 2 years.
Do not let that man in our building. I swear to Bob, like that's not happening.
You can't deny the fact that having the Ryan Gosling of football in Dallas wouldn't be like this perfect marriage of toxicity that the Cowboys Nation and the Jones family would be like, this could make some sense. Like, we could sell some merchandise here.
I mean, you're not wrong. Like, this man was able to run amok in Lubbock, Texas. So, like, I can only imagine what shenanigans he would get himself into in Dallas. Like, I'd rather not find out. But, you know, we do love a headline around here, so would not be surprised.
I just feel like Jerry's going to at least, like, talk about it in an interview just for the sake of, like, you know, some clickbait. Like, you know,
I'm not surprised he hasn't, now that you mention it.
Literally, like, y'all know it's coming. Like, you know it's coming. Prepare yourselves accordingly and just know that it's going to be somewhere on the interwebs because Jerry needs it.
Good God.
It reminds me of when I was joking, of course, because I am a wonderful, healthy human being. But when I broke up with my ex-boyfriend and like, I was joking with my friends, like sometimes I would like see him around the facility and like, we're super great. Like, we're totally friendly, all the things. But I was like, ah, oh, like, just be more toxic with me. Like, come on, you know, like, like what?
He's never toxic in that way in your relationship. So I like, that was a lot to ask there.
I know. I was like, why are we not having like, where's like the long love note that like, you want me back? Like, you miss me. Like, you just regret everything. Like, hello. Like, where's the storyline? Like, we're supposed to be following the script, the NFL script. Like, come on.
Oh, I've heard way too much about the script lately. I welcome the banter on it, but it's just really funny. If we want to do a real good script, like, what if, like, you know, we're the team that put Tom Brady into retirement only to hire him as an OC?
Whoa! Jason Witten would like a word.
That will never happen, but it would be hilarious.
Oh my goodness. Do you think Jason Witten is texting McCarthy / Jerry and being like,
I mean, he's gotta be, right?
Dude, I'm dead serious.
Does he want to be a high school coach forever?
No, he was like legit from what I heard again. Yeah. Like, there are people who in this industry, in the Dallas market, who cover this team, who were of the opinion that 82 was seriously vying for a coaching job with this team, like straight up, like, yeah, I'm ready. And what if dark horse candidate, add it to your list. I said it first.
I mean, that would be a great way to get your toes wet. You don't have to call the place.
Dude, literally, like, I'm like, okay, that could actually make some sense. Like,
yeah, it's either going to be some old guy or someone that just wants to get in the building. So I don't know.
Dun, dun, dun.
Now that would be headlines too. For sure.
I'm going to tweet that in all caps and just be like, Jason Witten.
What if Jason Witten was the OC? Ah! Yeah. Ooh, get the internet going. RJ already got them started today. Let you finish them off.
This is how I Twitter. What did he say? I need to know.
Oh, RJ, I love you.
I'm tweeting.
It's actually been 6 years, not 5 years, since the Philadelphia Eagles like made it to the Super Bowl. And then it just caused a whole lot of, literally it was February, and then it's like, well, you have to count 2017. The internet was ablaze.
Oh God.
And then he like slacked us all and he's like, I kicked the hornet's nest, somebody help me. But yeah, I mean, like, that's, you gotta kick a little Jason Witten hornet nest over there, do it. I'll back you up.
I did it. I'm in. I'm here for it.
She's thinking better of her Twitter drums these days.
It's true. It's 100% true. All right. Speaking of which, though,
this is like just an off topic. Not off topic.
We like off topic. But,
But your boy, Brett Maher, is allegedly not going to be back next season.
I just need to make sure that I point out to you guys that I literally have a thing against jerseys. Like, I don't wear them. I don't do it.
Hey, keep that jersey.
Trust me, I'm going to. Don't worry, Jack. It's staying forever. Like, legendary. Damn, yeah. I should have got him to sign it.
I mean, first of all, we could make that happen. Also, just like, I wish I screenshotted that tweet so I could like pin it on there.
Yeah.
It would be like, extra, you know?
Yeah. Honestly, you should have. And like, I just have a feeling that, I don't know, like, I feel bad for Brett Maher, and people can change, and I am a perfect example of a full-blown metamorphosis, because now I'm a Brett Maher simp and I feel bad for the man. And I'm over here like, but someone should give him a shot. Like, go into an off season. Like, come on. Like, he was just following the script.
Someone should definitely.
Don't blame him. Blame Arian.
I didn't expect you to call yourself a simp. that was amazing. But yeah, I mean, I don't see why he shouldn't get a shot at a job. Like, I think he would be like in a kicking competition. It's hard to ignore four missed PATs. In a very important game, but you were absolutely slaughtering that other team.
Oh,
so I don't know. I see why they would want to do that. I think they're just trying to get all of the ick off of like the last few seasons. Like since McCarthy got in the building, honestly, having two successful back-to-back seasons is a success, but like losing in terrible fashion to the same team twice sucks. So like, that's why they had to clean house on the interior. And I mean, I'm not surprised that they're going to do that. You're going to see a lot more cuts, though. I wouldn't be surprised if they're a little more ruthless this offseason with the players.
Honestly, I think they need to be. And, like, I'm sorry, like, this is coming from a full-blown empath. So, you know, this takes a lot for me to say. But, like, this team has got to start really taking this seriously. And, like, I think our dear friend David Hellman made a pretty stunning point.
Stunning.
I think it was today. We're recording this on Thursday, where he's like, Dak Prescott is becoming Tony Romo. And it's like, oh my God. Like, are we going to sit here like years down the road and be like, would Dak have been able to make it to a Super Bowl if he had had this band of people around him? Like, can we not do that? Because I really just feel like he's 7 years in it now, and we've paid him the money, and I'm not going to go into the whole contract talk, but at the end of the day, I think he's shown you that he's a good quarterback. He really is a great quarterback. He could be great. I don't think he's going to be elite, but like, you have to give him the players. He's just at the point where I don't know. I'm trying not to slander him, because like, I love him, but like, he's not like Aaron Rodgers or a Tom Brady who can take someone and make them. He's not like make lemonade out of lemons type of guy. He is like, hey, if you give me like good players, great players, like we can be amazing and complimentary, and like I can do an awesome job. But like, you got to give me the people to work with first.
Support for this show comes from Art, Beats, and Lyrics, a new documentary from Vox Creative, along with Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey and Co-Creative. Directed by Bill Horace, Art, Beats, and Lyrics showcases how a humble art show has grown into a cultural phenomenon. The film unveils the origin stories of the event's founder, Jabari Graham, and its curator, Dwayne W. Wright, exploring how Atlanta has shaped their individual paths while also revealing their distinct roles within Art, Beats, and Lyrics. The documentary follows Jabari W. and several of this year's feature artists as they gear up for ABNL's 20th anniversary tour, captivating thousands of fans at each and every show. Stream Art, Beats, and Lyrics now on Hulu. Please drink responsibly. Whiskey Specialty, 35% alcohol by volume, Jack Daniel's Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniel's and Tennessee Honey are registered trademarks. 2024 Jack Daniel's, all rights reserved.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast, Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Yeah, I mean, I think someone put it, I will never remember who tweeted this, if it was you, high five. But they were just like, he's not Tom Brady. Like, if we're talking about tiers, like, there's like Tom Brady, and you can put Aaron Rodgers in there. You can. He does elevate his surroundings, so that works. But then you have like, you know, quarterbacks that are elite, even though they are young, and that's going to be like your Burrows, my sweet prince, and you know, like Patrick Mahomes is certainly elite, that kind of stuff. And they do elevate those around them. They also do have a lot of help. Well, Patrick Mahomes didn't have a lot of help. He made that happen on his own, in my opinion. He had Travis Kelce, and then he had a no-namer who has a name now. But regardless, there's tiers. And if you put it like at average, like that's Dak Prescott. And then there's a crap ton of people below him. And you want me to go out and get those guys? No, thank you.
Yeah. So like...
You just elevate all the, like, what he has. Like, you give him the tools and he'll do it. But, like, he can't do it on his own, you know?
Good leaders know and learn and take it upon themselves to understand the strengths, but also the weaknesses of their people. And, you know, I had a conversation with my, you know, my big boss the other day. And we were just talking about, like, again, like strengths and weaknesses. And I was like, listen, I am ADHD AF and I am going, I kick butt at my job, but like, man, organization and like project management, like very, very detailed project management and like staying 100% always on top of it, like consistently, that's hard for me for obvious reasons. And he's like, I get it. Like, you're great. And if we need to add a project manager to your team, we will. And that's like, to me, what this ownership team has to really get honest with themselves about, if they're actually genuinely doing that or not, or if they're just spewing BS and being like, oh no, like full confidence, full faith. Like, yes, you can still have full confidence and full faith and admit and understand, even if not publicly, that like your leader or the guy that you've named as your quarterback needs some assistance in like XYZ areas. And then it's your job. It is your responsibility to fill those, help them help you. And that is what I think this team, and I think we've known this for a while, is failing to do. They're failing this Cowboys. They're failing their fans and they're failing their team by not empowering them enough.
And I would say actively failing at that. Like, did we miss what Jerry said about Amari Cooper this week? Just like, he stands by his decision there.
No.
Like, ball. Honey, you're the reason, like, we could have been so much better this year.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I said this on the world team last week, but like Michael Gallup is like half of the player that he normally is right now. He's not 100% by any means, like not at all.
He's had to get two more surgeries. And you guys knew that.
You expect him to like be a two? Please.
Right.
Like, it's real. Be astronomically for real. Like, that is just not going to happen. And Noah Brown, I'm sorry. Like, bringing in T.Y. was great. But, like, you don't have a two.
Like, I really am. Like, it's, like, it is, like, alarming when I sit here and watch, again, like, I don't get it. I'm, like, I can't. It is illogical. I do not believe that they believe what they're saying. And I'm like, you can't sit here and tell me that you're not afraid to take risks and put it all out on the table, because you've watched, you know, the Eagles, you watched the Rams be not just active, but aggressive in free agency. They've aggressively owned their mistakes too. Sitting there and owning the fact that Carson Wentz was not who you wanted him or needed him to be, and taking that L, which it was a massive, massive, embarrassing, I loved making fun of them L, And now I sit here and I have nothing to say except for congratulations, because I kind of wish at times that their GM was my GM. And I'm sorry, but like, I'm going to say it.
Yeah. No, I'm girl. Yes. Like, and the thing is, look at what they did to their, like their wide receiver core was like freaking laughable.
Yeah.
And they went out and they like, they got AJ Brown, bro. Like, and they drafted Devontae Smith and stuff like that. Like,
they traded with us. We left them.
It's important. You have to do that. You need wide receivers. You need them. You need them so bad. That is like the biggest, my biggest thing. And then it's like, Dak needs a one, he needs a two, and he needs a solid tight end.
Yes.
And then, I'm sorry, he needs Zeke. Everyone can get mad if they want to, but he needs Zeke. And he needs another back. Like,
they're gonna franchise tag. They should not let. Why am Tony. I was like, I was about to go by his number, but they really can't. Whoa,
Holland.
They cannot let him go. Like, tag him if you have to. Do it. Give Zeke his pay cut. Like, whatever.
Just restructure his contract. Like, you know that man's not going to take a pay cut. He's going to take a restructure.
Or whatever. Give me Bijan.
Get over it. It'll be fine.
Bijan. But.
Okay.
Bijan and OBJ.
Right. But everyone's so on the Bijan thing. I just don't think. And again, it's going to be like whoever is the best person that's left at 26. But like I would argue that your O-line needs and your cornerback needs are something that you need to address in the draft first and foremost. I wouldn't mind a wide receiver either, but whatever. We'll get into some draft talk later, but still, OBJ, you mentioned OBJ. Jerry did talk about OBJ this week. I think the man loves a headline, so that one wasn't surprising to me that he brought it back up. I told that to Paul privately. I was like, just wait till he brings back the OBJ talks, because it's gonna happen.
Yeah. So, Stephen Jones was like, well, we told him like, hey, we're gonna go get healthy and we'll call you. Cause like basically the premise was they had a great visit with him, and like, yeah. I mean, you guys all remember it, like sideline seats at the Mavs game, like
with Chris Jenner's boyfriend.
It was just like, it was everything. It was feeding the monster that we all have helped, you know, co-create. And I'm okay with that. I own that. Yeah. I, for one, am honest with myself, unlike some other people around the organization. Anyways, I just feel like, listen, I would have a serious conversation. I would. Like, I really would. Like, if you talk to Britt Brown, if you talk to Jim Maurer, and they say, in the doctors, but like, if they look at you and say, he's got juice in the tank, which, you know, if y'all don't know those trainers, and Britt is my guy, but like, he is going to 100% always shoot you straight. If he looks in the face and says he has something left in the tank, I'm going to sign something on the dotted line. Like, okay, like, give me
that contract. That's fine. I'm so down with that. If you can still manage to find me a two, because I don't know if OBJ can be a two.
Fair.
I don't know that he can't be. I just like, again, like we saw what happened with Michael Gallup coming back from that injury. And granted, OBJ's had much longer to actually recover and rehab and stuff like that. So it's something to consider. He could be a two. I don't know. Well, you can figure that out. Let Britt tell you. Let whoever has to do it. But yeah, that's it's one of those things. The Michael Gallup thing, like, that it bothers me that they just shoved him out there when he was very obviously like not okay.
Yeah, and you know,
and I'm glad he didn't get injured again, so that's good. But like, he didn't help us.
It's almost like justifying your purchase, where you're like, you know, drunk one Friday night and you buy a bunch of Furbies and you're like, I love Furbies. And you like try to tell yourself you're going to.
Their value only increases, these Furbies.
You're like,
If I buy all the Princess Diana Beanie Babies on eBay, surely I'll find the one that's worth 20 grand or whatever.
I wrote on the gosh darn TY tag like an idiot.
Oh, bro.
I still have that Beanie Baby though. So
I do too. Trust me. My dad was fully
committed. But it does say Megan on it. So you'll have to get past that.
I'm not joking when I tell you my dad was like fully convinced that I was going to pay for my MBA degree. And I was like,
yeah,
I hate to.
I mean, like it could have, but you let us write on them. So, but the thing is, Aaron, my sister, so I have a sister. So we had to label ours and that's why that happened. We split our Beanie Baby collection.
But also who's buying $100,000 Beanie Babies? Like who has that kind of money that's just like, yeah, I don't care.
Honestly, collectors, I'm not going to, you know what? I take back the free comment. I'm not going to yuck your yums. If you, that's your thing and you love Beanie Babies and you love collectibles, like good for you. Yeah. I hope it gives you a return on investment. That's all I have to say.
That is some real, that's when you know you've made it, where you're just like, I'm going to spend $300 million on a Pog.
If that's not F you money, I don't know what it is.
You're like, but it was the one Pog that I played with when I was 4 years old and it was rare because it was a holographic or whatever we did at the time.
I mean, I do have the Easter edition Furby from back in the day.
What was I even talking about? Now I want to Google Pogs.
We were talking about going out and getting somebody to help you with your team.
My point being, they've really...
Oh, yeah, we were actually talking about Michael Gallup, but still, yes.
Yeah, what I was trying to make the point of before I spiraled into Pogs, he got injured and they got him on a deal. You know, everyone was always like, oh, Michael Gallup, like, don't let him, like, he's like, it was like the trade bait. And like, yeah, like I still stand by that. Like, you know, I want him to get paid and I wanted him to get paid, but then he got injured and it, you know, messed up his chances of getting paid as much as he should have if it meant him going somewhere else. So the Cowboys were like, listen, we know you, you know, we'll keep you, but we'll keep you at a discounted rate. And then, you know, they did the Amari thing and they were like, well, we feel okay about who we have. And it was almost like they were like trying to justify their actions by like throwing him out there. And it's just like, yo, like, again, like an L is an L is an L. Like just own the fact that like, as a front office, you didn't do right by your players. Like you just didn't. And I'm sorry, like it is what it is. And like, we can keep saying they were confident in like these nonsensical decisions as much as we want publicly, but the writing's on the wall. And like, if P then Q, I'm sorry, like you messed up. The end, like own it.
Yeah, and the fact that he's continuing to go out there and like try to justify it, like, it's like Lisa Rinna said on a Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, own it, baby.
Own it. Oh my God. You guys, Pogs are still a thing. I'm going to buy it.
I was like, I know she's Google searching something right now.
Like I'm literally like, I could buy a 20 Pog lot for $10.49 and I might do it. God, 1995 was lit.
I mean, it really was. Let's talk about how the Cowboys were doing at that time.
Ooh, let's not, because that's hurtful.
It hurts my feelings, okay? I'm
suddenly not doing well again.
Yeah. And is it because I told, like, my plan that I, like, was going to drive to Arizona that this, like, we ultimately lost? Was it me?
I don't know. Like, I just feel like all the people that are taking ownership are all the wrong people. Again, like, lack of accountability.
That's really true. Jerry's never going to own it. So honestly, at this point, like we know what he is. Like if he's not going to own it, whatever, talk your talk, like sell yourself or whatever. But like do something behind the scenes, like make a move because you look embarrassing.
Yeah.
Howie embarrassed you. So
like you just gotta stop. I'm gonna stop there. Like,
you need stop. To stop.
Just stop. Like you literally stop.
Full stop.
I'm not okay. Just please stop. Like I'm
you are turning me into someone that I don't want to be. And I can't blame anyone but you. The end. Like, I'm not even joking.
No one to blame but yourself. Look in your mirror on your super yacht, Jerry. Look in the mirror.
Yeah.
And like Congress, like Ticketmaster, like Taylor Swift always says, it's me. Hi, I'm the problem. It's me. Say it to yourself, Jerry. You can do it.
Hi, I'm the problem. It's me. I just want to make sure you guys know that I 100% got through the Ticketmaster line the other day to get Johnny May's tickets because he's not coming to Dallas, but I'm going to go see him in Denver apparently because I make
rude
solid financial decisions.
Do I feel bad for his mentions?
No,
not really. I still love his music and him and stuff, you know, but there's the Swiftie inside me that has to reconcile that fact from time to time.
This is actually a really interesting dynamic that we have going on because like you could not be more of a diehard Swiftie, and like I you definitely like match my fandom for John Mayer, but like I think like I will always have that time when I was 14 or 15 when I got my tractor's license in Kansas City and drove to St. Louis to unknowingly, my parents had no idea until like a decade later that I did this. I drove to St. Louis to see a John Mayer concert. So like, I feel like we have like super fan John Mayer over here and super fan Taylor Swift over here.
The funny thing is I've never met, like up until like, I've skipped like one tour of his. I've been to every single tour of his from like Room for Squares.
Yeah.
And I missed like one tour. And then you and I went to the last one.
I love John. He's so toxic. I luckily my boyfriend.
Is that why we like him?
I think that's why we like him. Cause we have this like.
He's
like,
the Jerry Jones of the music world.
Be more toxic with me. And John says, sure, baby. Let me play this little ditty. And I'm over here like, and then he does something.
Yeah, don't ask her what she would have. Never.
That's an offline conversation.
It sure is.
Anyways, speaking of online conversations, I do actually, OL, this is the transition I'm trying to make, online to O-line. The end, did you get it? Yes, okay.
Sure did.
Ready? Okay. So in going along the lines of the theme of change, the Cowboys also made a change at O-line. And I'm interested to hear your thoughts because Philbin, you know, listen, he's been a longtime coach with McCarthy. I don't know, like he was let go or his contract was not renewed, however you want to say it. Now the Cowboys are bringing in Mike Solari, who had a short stint over with McCarthy and then has most recently been with the Seattle Seahawks. I don't know how I grade Philbin's performance quite yet. Like I need to like take a moment to like internalize and think about it because he really did. He had to block and tackle, like no pun intended, his entire career with this team. Like how many different combinations did this man have to pull out of his you know what? Like it was like the odds were stacked against him, in my opinion, from the start. And I mean, holy cow.
Yeah, I mean, I've long been a Philbin hater. This season I was like, you did a pretty good job with what you had. So I kind of like had a little humble pie on that or ate a little crow, what have you. I mentioned last time, like I was kind of surprised that they got rid of him, but they had to make big changes and like
money moves.
The O-line is crucial to your quarterback success and you invested in your quarterback. So like, You gotta do something different. You have to bring in somebody to elevate the O-line, and you also need to draft somebody, but that's neither here nor there. But yeah, I mean, I think it's a good move. I don't know much about him. I might actually go back and watch some like All-22 and like see you know, I never really watched any Seattle games. So I'm like, how was the O-line? I don't know.
That sounds terrible. Let me know how it goes.
Yeah, it sounds boring. Well, the funny thing is, like,
I'm kidding, but
if you think about the Seattle Seahawks, they kind of burst onto the scene this year with Geno Smith at the helm, and just like they did well.
Let's be onto something with this.
So if you make Geno Smith look good,
what
I mean,
can't you do? Someone's
protecting him, correct? Question mark. I don't know how like how many times he got sacked. So I'm talking out the side of my neck here, but like I will go and look at it and see a little bit more about, you know, his body of work before I truly make a decision on how I feel about this move. But
yeah,
I mean, they're obviously very serious about making changes. So this is number one.
You know what, though? I think you're onto something. Like, I really do. Because, again, I think it's pretty obvious that Dak didn't just plateau but made a regression this year. And, you know, I mean, it feels like he did. And you change the things around it that you can change, which is not him, because his contract is keeping you here. If you're the head coach, you're saving yourself. So you're like, I'm going to change the play caller, and then I'm going to change the people – like the person in charge of orchestrating the guys that are connecting him or protecting him rather. Right. And so, yeah, like that actually makes a lot of sense. Young Mego makes a lot of sense.
My thought process is if you can make Geno Smith look good for even one game, like that's pretty huge.
Yeah. I mean, talk about a phoenix rising from the ashes. It's a wonder he doesn't play for Arizona. Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, Arizona. You know, sometimes I like feel really stressed out about our situation. Then I look around the league and I'm like, I'm glad I'm not Arizona.
You know what, though? Actually, in talking about, if you want to have a counterpoint to the theory of like really being active in free agency and it not working out, Arizona is probably a pretty good one.
They keep going into the Houston Texans rejects. Not rejects necessarily. JJ Watt was not a reject, but like, you know, former Houston Texans is where they love to grab like a wide receiver or a defensive lineman from. So look at those guys though. They did get D'Amico Ryan, which I was like kind of impressed.
Yeah. Also congrats to him for being wildly attractive. Like,
yeah, I know.
Super sidebar, but God was in a good mood that day.
I was a little like, can we just check on him on the sideline from now and then? Or like, are we good?
How's he doing?
How's he doing over there? He seems a little stressed by the Eagles. Maybe we should check in on him.
I'm not joking. I'm sorry. I keep being distracted. Like, why did we like Pogs? Like, I'm very confused. And also like,
Kelsey, can I remind you that there was a generation that had pet rocks?
Yeah. Like, what were us 90s kids doing? Were these, I can't even remember. I thought mine were plastic. These look like they're like paper, like straight up like cardboard. And also this person over here is like, these are rare Pogs. And I'm like, what made you decide these were rare? Like,
he probably made them himself.
Aren't they all rare because no one, they're extinct? Like, what are you talking about? Like, what? I'm sorry.
Hey, you know what? Nothing is ever extinct. My Tamagotchi would tell you otherwise.
Bro, Tamagotchis. I have one of those in my cart. Were you a Tamagotchi or a Gigapet person?
I probably had both, but I definitely know I had a Tamagotchi.
I honestly think we should both get those and like test run them. And then I think
we can't keep plants alive. Why would we do this to ourselves again?
Listen, I'm going to play it for a week and then I'm a hyper focus on it for about a week. And then I'm going to throw it away and get
just
really
like that chicken sandwich that you're on right now.
Literally that, like, I can't not, I need it. Like, I need it every day. I'm actually upset. Like, if there wasn't ice, I would have already gotten it at least one other time. I'm not telling you where it is.
You had a couple things that you were like, if there wasn't ice, I would go get this right now. I'm like, this is why you need to leave your house.
Well, that would, she just called me out. I have no response to that.
But it's true though. She gets too much in her thoughts.
You guys should see our group text, like us, me, Meg, and Dave. We have a group text, Parakeet Nation, best group text of all time. And I can't tell you how many times it, over the last couple like weeks they've been like, well, your dock's not moving. And I'm like, well, there you go.
I am comfortable right here.
I have no response.
And then like 15 minutes later, should I buy this? No, you should not.
Stop it.
Or she'll like send me like, you would look cute in this dress. I'm like, why are you shopping for me?
Like, because I love shopping. It's fun.
It's true.
You know, it'd be great too. Maybe I should send Jerry Jones a list of players that I would like for him to buy for me.
I mean, we're definitely going to have to discuss that as we get closer to the draft. So.
All right. Well, I feel like that's a come in. I also feel like if you guys are interested, we did discuss bringing back Fan Fridays occasionally. Yes. So if you're in, if you want to come on, if you want to be on the horn, if you want to talk Pogs and Taylor Swift and John Mayer and OBJ mixed with a little side of Dacky P, no one calls him that. I'm probably going to ban Dalton Schultz pretty dang hard in this coming off season because who I am as a human being.
As you should.
Slide into our DMs or just, you know, tweet us or follow us. You don't have to DM us like in a creepy way, but just let us know if you want to come on, come hang. It could be fun. Maggie, anything else before we sign off for the evening?
Oh, goodness. You know what? No, but no. I'm not gonna kick the hornet's nest. I'm good.
It's okay. I already did on Twitter. Twitter thinks I'm probably really stupid.
Did you do the Witten thing?
Oh, yeah. Of course I did.
Oh, I'm in on this. All right.
Obviously. Like, hype me up. Be like, yes, this is a great idea. Blah, 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 blah.
Best idea ever.
Totally do it. Like, while we're at it, let's call Sean Lee. He could be a special assistant to the DC. Actually, he would be great, honestly. I'm not even joking about that. But
the ratio is pretty good.
Oh, is it?
So far.
Oh, great. Perfect. Awesome. Love that for me. Congrats.
As always, not to be trite, has my favorite reply. Diet Ranch on three. Diet Ranch on three.
I love him so much. Great follow. If you guys don't follow him, just so we're clear, most of his tweets I cannot acknowledge because I am officially still
What I am thinking.
He does. I just want you guys to know there is a very underground appreciation for that man's content. And not to be trite is a fantastic follow.
People have tried to get him a podcast so many times and he's like, no.
Yeah, straight up. Like, he just, like, he's wonderful.
He's like, I just want to spew my stuff on Twitter and let it ride.
And like,
I appreciate that for him.
He definitely has some, like, insider access to something, something, something.
100%.
But, like, just so y'all know, like, very valuable and hilarious follow.
We are stans of him, so you should follow him, too. Not to be trite, T-R-I-T-E.
T-R-I-T-E. All right, guys. Well, you should also come hang out with us and follow us on the Twitter because I think we're pretty funny as well. I am on Twitter at @Kelsey_Charles. I'm also on Instagram at @HeyKelseyCharles. And Megan is?
I am at Meg Murray with 4 R's on everything.
You should also subscribe to the Blogging the Boys podcast, wherever you get your podcast, whether it's Spotify, Apple, iTunes, or Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review, please. Because, I don't know, I just feel like you should do that for us in light of how this season ended. And we just could use some happiness.
Okay? You should just # Pog Nation.
And # Pog.
Tell Kelsey you're with her. Let's
bring Pogs back. God, how do I get paid to do this? It's alarming, really. Like, unbelievable. Someone take the mic away from me.
I love it.
All right. Well, personally, I do appreciate you guys so, so much. As always, though, there's some really important words we must leave you with, especially in light of who's playing in the Super Bowl. Wah, wah.
Sigh. Dallas forever, Philly for never. Absolutely never. I'm sorry, Micah Parsons. I respect your thoughts and your feelings, but
we hate them.
We're not NFC fans today.
No. Nick Sirianni is a robot programmed to destroy us all. And
I believe that.
Thank you. I agree.
Nick Sirianni's aren't real.
Nick Sirianni's are not real. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Support for this show comes from Art, Beats, and Lyrics, a new documentary from Vox Creative along with Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey and Colt Creative. Directed by Bill Horace, Art, Beats, and Lyrics showcases how a humble art show has grown into a cultural phenomenon. The film unveils the origin stories of the event's founder, Jabari Graham, and its curator, Dwayne W. Wright, exploring how Atlanta has shaped their individual past while also revealing their distinct roles within Art, Beats, and Lyrics. The documentary follows Jabari, W., and several of this year's feature artists as they gear up for ABNL's 20th anniversary tour, captivating thousands of fans at each and every show. Stream Art, Beats, and Lyrics now on Hulu. Please drink responsibly. Whiskey Specialty, 35% alcohol by volume, Jack Daniel's Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniel's and Tennessee Honey are registered trademarks. 2024 Jack Daniel's, all rights reserved.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.